Chapter 13. I heard two droids talking the other day. The first one asked, "Did you beat the Wookiee at Sabacc?" And the second said, "Yes, but it cost me an arm and a leg." Jason Solo, age 14.
"Isn't medicine miraculous today?"
Kytus asked. No one answered, of course. It was a rhetorical question.
"A being is more likely to die of a meteor strike than of old age or disease."
Little more than a standard week after losing his arm, Kytus was pacing, actually pacing, back and forth across the wardroom. With his good arm, he was waving a hypo filled with a special preparation of protocells and neural growth stimulants. His mind was alert, focused, and filled with an energizing optimism that he had not experienced since his days at the Jedi Academy on Yavin 4.
"Today's 2-1B droids can replace a blaster shattered kneecap with an Illinium prosthetic more durable than the original."
Kytus stopped next to the only occupied bed in the ward and gestured at the stump of his severed arm, which still showed the white fusing scar where the skin had been closed over the bone.
"They could have reattached my natural arm, had I been willing to lie around in one of these for a couple of months."
Kytus intentionally slammed his prosthetic kneecap into the bedframe, rocking it so hard that the occupant, a young sinewy woman with curly brown hair and dark eyes, flinched. He smiled and held the hypo over the bed, easily within her reach. Had she been able to move her arms?
"Yes. Today's medicine can even rebuild the nerves in a ruptured spinal cord. One little injection."
Kytus looked at the needle, which was nearly as long as his finger, then continued,
"Well, maybe not so little. Is all it takes to start the process."
The woman's dark eyes began to grow glassy, and she looked away.
"Come now, Myrta,"
Kaida said.
"This war will be over soon, and you'll be released with all of the Alliance's prisoners. There's no reason you need to be strapped into a hover chair when that happens."
So far, the woman had not said a word, not even to acknowledge her identity. But even if GAG's terrorist recognition technology had not identified her, Kytus would have known her. She had her mother's mouth and her grandfather's cold, dead eyes, after all. More importantly, he could feel her hatred burning in the Force, and that was what identified her most clearly. Her obsession with avenging the death of Aelin Vel.
"But we must start the process soon, before the damage grows irreversible,"
Kytus said.
"How many Jedi accompanied your team?"
Myrta continued to look away, but her face blanched, and a small, pained voice croaked,
"Go get Borked."
"Ah, she speaks. Progress at last."
Kytus' smile was sincere. A response, any response, meant he had found a vulnerable spot in her armor. Then the wardroom door hissed open, and Myrta's face hardened as she recovered her composure and looked to see who had arrived. Kytus spun on his heel, already summoning the Force shock he would use to rebuke the fool who had ignored his order for privacy, then saw who it was and realized why he hadn't sensed her coming. After learning how to conceal herself in the Force, Tahiri had begun to employ the technique, like Kytus himself, as a matter of course.
"Ah, Tahiri, you're just in time."
Kytus motioned her into the room, then turned back to the bed.
"Myrta was about to tell us who cut off my arm."
Tahiri remained silent for a moment, then said,
I'd think you would know that, my lord. Appearances can be deceiving,
Titus said.
Isn't that so, Myrta?
Myrta only glared at him in silence.
We're back to that, are we?
Titus sighed and looked sadly at the hypo, then turned back around to Tahiri.
It seems our prisoner is determined to live the rest of her life strapped to a board. I assume you've come to report. You may proceed.
Tahiri frowned.
Here?
There's no need to worry about betraying our secrets.
He glanced over his shoulder.
Does the prisoner look like an escape risk?
Myrta's rage came boiling through the force like a turbo-laser strike, blasting Titus so fiercely it felt almost physical. He allowed himself a smirk, more to signal his intentions to Tahiri than to congratulate himself, of course, and began to plot how he was going to turn that rage to his own ends, to redirect it at someone who had been making a real nuisance of himself lately. Tahiri looked past Kaidas toward the bed, apparently debating whether her news should be relayed in front of even an incapacitated enemy, then finally said,
I'm afraid I have a failure to report, my lord.
Your plan to discover the location of the secret Jedi base has failed,
Titus surmised. Actually, the broad outlines of the plan had been his, but the failure was obviously in the details, and those had been mapped out by Tahiri.
Ben slipped free of your surveillance.
Slipped isn't quite accurate,
Tahiri said.
He discovered our, agent trailing him and took measures.
Titus frowned, though not because Tahiri had lost track of Ben. He had foreseen that possibility in his visions and taken other measures. He just didn't like the idea of losing his secret security droid. As irritating as SDXX could be, lately, it had seemed to him that the droid was the only one who truly understood him.
What about the agent?
He asked. Tahiri had been wise to avoid mentioning SDXX in front of Myrta. Titus had every intention of sending her back to Boba Fett in one fully functional piece, and he preferred to keep private the existence of his security droid.
Is he still functional?
I don't know,
Tahiri replied.
We weren't able to recover him.
Titus fought to keep his anger from rising. He had already made the mistake of letting his emotions control him, and that blunder had cost him so much more than Fondor and the deserters that traitor Neophil had stolen. It had cost him his daughter's love. It had cost him Alana. When he felt certain of sounding merely annoyed rather than enraged, Titus asked,
Why not?
Tahiri's eyes began to sparkle.
We were otherwise occupied, my lord, she said. I saw another opportunity to learn the location of the secret Jedi base, and I seized it.
When Tahiri did not elaborate, Titus frowned and inquired,
Do you really intend to make me ask?
Tahiri smiled, and he knew that it was something big.
I think so. Yes.
The joy she felt in her triumph was contagious. Titus actually found himself grinning.
Very well,
he said.
Exactly what did you seize?
The beam racer,
Tahiri reported,
and the prince was aboard.
Titus's brow shot up.
You captured Isolde,
Tahiri nodded.
I did.
And he revealed the location of the Jedi base.
Not yet,
she said.
But before losing contact, our agent reported a conversation in which it was said that Tenel Kahl wouldn't trust anyone else with the location of the Jedi base.
Tahiri's face grew clouded. Then she added,
I thought you might want to perform the interrogation yourself. I killed the last subject I worked on.
Kaidus's heart went out to her. He remembered how he had felt when his first suspect died under interrogation, horrified and frustrated and ashamed all at once, but mostly afraid of what he was becoming. He would have laid a comforting hand on her shoulder, except the only one he had left was holding a hypo with a very long needle. Instead, he said,
It's not your fault, Tahiri. The suspect holds his own life in his hands. If he won't cooperate, we can't be blamed for the consequences.
I know, Tahiri said. But I was angry.
We all make mistakes,
Kaidus interrupted, growing impatient with her self-examination. He had absolved her of guilt. What more did she require?
Where's Isolde now?
A flash of pain shot through Tahiri's eyes, but she quickly collected herself.
The prince is secure in the Anakin Solo's brig, with the rest of the racer's crew, she said. I offered to confine him in one of the VIP cabins, but he refused to guarantee his behavior.
He's an honorable man,
Kaidus said, nodding. He thought of how many times, going as far back as his student days on Yavin 4, he had imagined having Isolde as his father-in-law, and a pang of sorrow shot through his breast.
I'm glad it won't be necessary to interrogate him. At least not harshly.
Tahiri frowned in confusion.
He didn't strike me as the kind of man who'll be easy to break.
He wouldn't be,
Kaidus agreed.
But I've already learned the location of the Jedi base.
Tahiri's mouth dropped, but she seemed too astonished to actually voice the question. Kaidus closed his eyes and turned in the direction of Hapen Space.
In the transitory mists, on this side of the consortium, somewhere between Roku Depot and Terrafon, I would say.
He opened his eyes and turned to Tahiri.
I'll grow more precise when we get closer.
Tahiri's brow shot up so high that the scars on her forehead laid at an angle. She looked like she wanted to ask a dozen different questions, but all she seemed able to manage was...
How?
Kaidus smiled.
It's in my blood, Tahiri.
He left it at that. This was neither the time nor the place to explain how a Night Sister blood trail worked. The fighting around the Roach system was growing fiercer by the hour, but he could not leave, did not dare leave, until he understood what had happened to him in the tactical planning forum. He had been fighting Luke one moment, Jaina the next, and then they had both been there. Not just illusions of them, but presences real enough to bat blaster bolts back at the stormtroopers attacking them.
Come here,
Kaidus said, motioning Tahiri to Myrta's bedside.
You're a woman. Perhaps you can find a way to make her discuss the Jedi on her strike team.
Tahiri obediently came to stand beside the bed, but Kaidus could see in the way she averted her eyes that she had lost her stomach for harsh interrogation. Of course, that only meant it was more important than ever to push her back into it, to remind her that a Sith never allowed personal feelings to interfere with the mission.
The subject has no sensation below her shoulders, so our options are limited,
Kytus noted, adopting an impersonal tone that he hoped would make it easier for Tahiri to begin.
And I suspect she wants to die anyway, so death threats won't work either.
When do death threats ever work? Tahiri's gaze began to roam over Myrta's sheet-covered body, and Kytus could see that his strategy was effective, that she was starting to focus on the problem instead of herself.
But she's part Mandalorian, right?
Maybe even completely,
Kytus said.
The way their culture works, what you say you are, is more important than what spills out of your veins. The file says she even married a Mandalorian recently. Why?
Mandalorians are way too proud, Tahiri said. Smug, even. It's the biggest weakness I've seen in everyone I've met.
Kytus considered this for a moment, then asked,
You're thinking humiliation?
Tahiri nodded.
But we have to take it further. The subject's a decent-looking woman for her line of work, and that has to make her vain.
Kytus glanced over Myrta's face and knew by the rush of fear he felt in the Force that Tahiri had struck a chord.
So, disfigurement,
he said.
I hate that.
Who doesn't?
Tahiri asked.
But she's a member of Fett's family, right?
Compared with the emotional stuff she must be carrying around already, a little humiliation is nothing. If we want to break her, we have to maim her so badly that people will pity her. Then, if she still doesn't give us what we want, we send her back to Mandalore.
That inspired Myrta to raise her head.
Go ahead, you dung-sucking dark-side slut! See what happens!
So, disfigurement would be a problem for you?
Kytus asked. He glanced over at Tahiri with a look of admiration.
It sounds like you've found your inner Yuuzhan Vong. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Tahiri's pride was genuine, her attention now completely focused on the task at hand.
Call me whatever you like, Myrta, but the choice is yours. We're only the instrument of your decision.
Go drown in a cesspool, Myrta shot back. I'm looking at a dead woman.
Myrta, there's no reason to be angry with Tahiri.
As Kytus spoke, he began to put the power of the Force behind his words, using its energies to plant them deep in her mind.
She isn't the one who sent you on this mission.
Myrta's gaze flashed over to Kytus.
I volunteered.
Of course you did,
Kytus said in a reasonable tone.
You're Boba Fett's granddaughter. What else could you do?
He saw the shock of recognition in her eyes and knew that she realized what he was trying to do. No matter. He had time and the Force on his side. With those two for allies, the only question was how long it would take to implant the conviction that her suffering was her grandfather's fault, that Fett had sent her on the mission knowing it would fail. And once Kytus had done that, all he would have to do was stand back and let Mandalorian nature take its usual course. When no further foulness spilled from Myrta's mouth, Kytus shrugged and turned to Tahiri.
The threat alone will never work on this subject, he said. I'll have someone bring a mirror panel so she can see what we're doing to her.
He stepped over to the wall and used a knuckle to depress the call button. When the door to the ward slid open an instant later, he was surprised to see that his black-clad GAG guard was accompanied by a white-uniformed medic with a remnant insignia on her collar. In her slender hands, the medic held a blood collection kit. Before his guard could explain the woman's presence, Kaidas turned to her directly.
"Is there something you require here, Lieutenant?"
The woman paled, but clicked her heels and inclined her head.
"Lord Kaidas, the Moths request a sample of the prisoner's blood for their genetic databank."
"Later,"
Kaidas said. He was willing to accommodate the Moths, but not in the middle of his interrogation. Not when he was just starting to make progress.
"You can wait outside until we're done, or leave your comlink identifier with one of the guards."
"Yes, Lord Kaidas."
The woman looked so relieved that Kaidas had to wonder if the rumors of his harsh treatment of Lieutenant Tebbutt had already crossed navies. It was just another reminder of the costly mistakes he had made by letting his emotions get so out of hand.
"Thank you, Lord Kaidas."
She began to back out of the chamber until Tahiri said,
"Wait."
Kaidas glanced down his shoulder at her.
"You have a good reason for countermanding my command."
If you don't mind, my lord," Tahiri said, "I'd like to know the purpose of the sample. Does it have something to do with the Empire's Nanakiller?"
Before answering, the lieutenant looked to Kaidas for permission.
"Go ahead,"
Kaidas said.
"An order from my apprentice is an order from me."
"Thank you, my lord,"
the lieutenant said. She turned to Tahiri.
"That's correct, ma'am. Since the prisoner is a granddaughter to Boba Fett, the Moths thought it might be wise to develop a strain targeting him."
"That is a good idea,"
Kaidas said. Myrta's fear was a boiling cloud in the Force, and with good reason. A sample of her blood would accomplish in a needle prick what he had expected to spend days, perhaps even weeks, working on.
"And how long will it take to develop that strain?"
"Their close family relationship will make it fairly easy," she reported. "No more than 3 days. It might be as fast as one, if we're allowed unlimited access to the prisoner."
Kaidas half turned, looking back at Myrta's horrified face.
"I think we can arrange that,"
he said.
"Would you like me to hold her head so she doesn't try to bite you?"
"That would be very kind, Lord Kaidas."
The lieutenant started forward, already removing the sterile cover from her collection kit.
"Thank you."
"Wait!"
This time the countermand came from Myrta.
"I'll tell you who was on my team."
Kaidas raised his hand to stop the lieutenant.
"I thought you might have a change of heart."
He began to put the power of the Force behind his words again.
"How touching. You're actually trying to protect the man who sent you into this mess."
Myrta ignored his sarcasm.
"No samples."
She pointed her chin at the hypo in his hand.
"And I get my injection. Agreed?"
"And you really believe that I'll keep my word?"
Kaidas asked. The question wasn't an idle one. He was actually interested in how the rest of the galaxy perceived him.
"Or do you have some proposal to guarantee that I do?"
"Not that I have any other choice, but I'll trust your promise,"
Myrta said.
"If you'd lie to a woman in this condition, you really are a supreme Sleemo."
The insult made Kaidas's stomach clench in anger. But he recalled what had happened the last time he hadn't controlled his anger, and nodded.
"You keep your part of the bargain, and I'll keep mine,"
he said.
Who was with you?
There was only one Jedi, Myrta said. Your sister, Jaina.
My sister?
Kytus roared despite himself.
You expect me to believe that?
He waved the stump of his arm at her.
That Jaina did this?
I don't know who did that, but Jaina was the only Jedi I saw.
Myrta seemed completely unimpressed by his anger.
And don't look so surprised. She's been training with Mandalorians.
Then why didn't she share their disposal barge?
Kytus demanded. He turned to the lieutenant.
Take your sample.
What?
Myrta seemed genuinely shocked.
You're a Jedi. Can't you tell I'm not lying?
I'm a Sith,
Kytus corrected.
And I don't need the Force to know you're lying. There were two Jedi there. I fought them both.
Myrta did a good job of appearing completely confused, even in the Force.
I don't know about that, but the only one who came with us was Jaina.
Then how did Luke get in?
Kytus demanded. He whirled on the lieutenant.
What are you waiting for? I gave you an order.
Of course.
The frightened lieutenant stepped to the foot of the bed, where the prisoner could not even attempt to bite her, and pulled the sheet off Myrta's feet.
Sorry, my lord.
Myrta watched in horror as the lieutenant raised a vein, then, just before the needle was inserted, said,
Okay, Luke was with us.
The lieutenant looked to Kytus for instructions. Kytus ignored her.
I know that. How did he get into the planning forum?
With us?
Myrta's answer sounded more like a question than an answer, and Kytus realized she was still lying to him. He could even sense it in the Force.
We had control of the Nickel One security system, and help from the Verpine—
Yes, I know all that, too.
Kytus said,
I'm interested in Luke, in how he really slipped into the asteroid. This is your last chance.
Myrta's eyes grew desperate.
I told you, she said. We came in through a gun emplacement, then blew a reactor core to cover our breach point.
Incredibly, Myrta was still lying about something. Kytus could sense it in her desperate Force aura, that she was being mostly truthful, but misleading him about something crucial.
At least something you said is true,
he said. He passed the hypo to the lieutenant.
Take your sample and give her this injection. She told half the truth, so I'll keep half my word.
Myrta began to curse him again, and Kytus knew he had made all the progress he was going to that day. He motioned to Hiri to follow him, then left the room and started down the corridor toward his quarters, deep in thought as he puzzled over how Luke had really gotten into the room. It always came down to Luke. It had been Luke's eyes into which he had been looking when his arm was taken. It was Luke's face that haunted his dreams. It was Luke who he saw in his visions. Sometimes Luke was chasing him through a desert landscape filled with spires and arches. Sometimes Luke was driving a crimson lightsaber through his heart. Sometimes Luke was wearing Kytus's black robes, sitting on his dark throne, ruling his Sith Empire.
That was a lot of trouble,
Tahiri said, finally tearing Kytus out of his thoughts.
If you were going to betray your promise, why bother justifying it? It's not like anyone there was going to talk about it.
Kytus stopped in the middle of the corridor.
I didn't betray my promise,
he said.
Myrta was lying about something.
Sure, after you started pressing her, Tahiri said. But I didn't sense the lie the first time. If Luke was there, she didn't know how he got there.
Luke was there,
Kytus insisted. Sorry, Tahiri said, not quite cringing. I didn't mean to suggest...
No. Forgive me,
Kytus said, finally realizing what he had overlooked, what the Force must have been telling him all along.
I was just coming to a decision.
Tahiri remained silent, waiting for his pronouncement.
Have Myrta transferred to the Anakin Solo, and inform the Moffs that I would like them to place their assets at my disposal and select a command committee to accompany us.
Very well, Tahiri said. Shall I inform them of our objective?
My uncle.
Kytus began to walk again.
I've been growing more and more convinced that killing Luke Skywalker is the key to winning this war. And I'm sure of it now.